Olá pessoal, welcome to another episode of Learning Brazilian Portuguese with me, Fernando Nonoai. In today's episode, I'll be talking to Sofia Syntax, who is currently living in Salvador, the capital of the Bahia state in the northeast of Brazil. We talked about her Portuguese learning journey, how she ended up living in Brazil, her strategies to overcome anxiety when speaking Portuguese, cultural differences, her top tips for learners of Brazilian Portuguese, and much more. So, here's Sofia. Oi, Sofia! Tudo bem?
Oi, Fernando! Tudo bem? Tudo jóia?
Before we start talking about your Portuguese learning journey, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from, where you are at the moment, and what you do for a living?
Claro. So, my name is Sofia Syntax. You may remember me from reading my blog, Two Sex for Context, or listening to my podcast, Angry Indian Girl Radio. I am an artist and a teacher, and I am currently living in Salvador, Bahia, Brazil.
Excellent. But where are you from originally?
Originally, I am from the land currently known as the United States and Canada. I am indigenous. I am from the Ojibwe tribe. We are a border tribe. The border crossed us. We didn't cross the border. And I was born in the land that is currently known as Michigan. I'm a very proud Detroiter. Go Red Wings!
And how did you end up in Salvador?
Well, Fernando, here's the thing about me. I am a walking cliche. To be completely honest, Brazil was never on my radar. Everything I know about Brazil could be summed up with the three C's: capoeira, carnaval, and caipirinha. I'm a polyglot and I'm a linguist by trade. I already speak other Romance languages. My father's Mexican, entonces hablo un poco de español, and my foster mom is French Canadian, donc je parle français. Aussi. Since I already speak Spanish, I just like I'm a little embarrassed to say this out loud, especially if any of my Brazilian family is to hear this, but like I just sort of figured, listen, I already speak Spanish, I already have the majority of South American covered and like accessible to me linguistically, so like I'll just avoid Brazil. Why do I need to go there? I used to work in a university in a study abroad office, and we had a number of Brazilian foreign exchange students. So I picked up a few things working with them, mostly like, you know, those little polite things that you have to say, those social lubricant words like bom dia, obrigada. And I felt like that elevated me because at least then I knew you don't speak Spanish in Brazil. Like I know better than to say gracias to a Brazilian. Okay. I'm not going to be that great. So like, I was like, okay, cool. At least I know your language. Like I don't really need to know anymore.
Yeah. I mean, Spanish helps.
Right. And to the chagrin of I don't want to get ahead of my story. So I'm speaking Spanish. Great. I'm just going to avoid Brazil. La, 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 la. And then I got a Fulbright and I went to Romania. And I'm sure you're asking me, okay, Sofia, I asked you about Brazil. What does Romania have to do with Brazil? But trust me, I'm getting there. So I was in Romania and being in Romania, I'm in Europe. So I'm getting those cheap Ryanair flights and I decide, hey, let's just go to Madrid for the weekend, get some drinks, you know, have some tapas. It'll be great. And while I was there, I was staying in a hostel and I met this beautiful Brazilian man. Mm-hmm. And we ended up spending the weekend together. We went to all these museums and he was just really funny and I felt really good. You know, it was a real like Sofia got her groove back moment. It was also my birthday. Like it was just the stuff of a paperback romance novel. And I went back to Romania and I thought that would be the end of it. And it was not. We ended up talking. And at one point I actually said to this person, I was like, you don't even know me. Like you don't know me. And he's like, listen, you know, I've spoken to you every day for like 6 months on WhatsApp. And I was like, oh my gosh, wow. Yeah, you have. Okay. Wow. I guess you do know me. So when I got done, he invited me to come to Sao Paulo where he was living for vacation. I had a vacation break with my uni. So I went there. It was a beautiful week. And then when I got done with my fellowship in Romania, I was a free agent and he invited me to come to Brazil. So as a person with a passport from the United States, I get 3 months in Brazil. Mm-hmm. Actually, at the time, under the government prior to Bolsonaro under Temer, I did have to apply for a visa. I had to pay for that. And it cost me, I think, $90. I was actually pretty salty about it because as someone with an American passport, I'm not used to having to pay to go to places. Usually people pay to come to my country. So I've got a little bit of that passport privilege. And I was pretty salty about it. I was like, you know, this, you better be worth it. I'm paying $90 just to come into your country.
Well, he was. For love.
It was for love. It was for love. And then when I got done, like I said, in Romania, he invited me to come. And since I'm a linguist and a researcher and I couldn't pass up the opportunity, I'm also from the Northern Hemisphere. So I was like, yeah, Brazil, hot, beaches, sunny. Yes. Sao Paulo is none of that.
None of that. Yeah, I was going to say.
None of that. But I went. Again, it was for love. It was for love. So then, you know, after I did a couple of visa runs, staying down there in Sao Paulo, and basically at one point he and I just decided we couldn't live apart. We didn't want the government getting involved anymore. And so we decided to tie the knot. And now for the last year, I've been dealing with that bureaucracy, which you can read about in my forthcoming book, How to Marry a Brazilian in 30 Days.
Ooh,
look for it on Amazon.
Book. Wow, excellent.
Yes, I'm going to write a book about it because I'm so tired of telling the story. I figured it would be just easier to put it on Kindle Unlimited and be done with it.
So what's the title? How to Marry a Brazilian?
How to Marry a Brazilian in 30 Days.
In 30 days, okay.
In 30 days, yes.
That's a really good title.
Yeah, well, it's a very specific, very... to my situation, because basically I had an issue with the immigration. I don't want to give away too much of the book, but had an issue with immigration. So the last time I came back in, I had left to go and get documentation, you know, with the intention of getting married. And when I came in, they told me, okay, well, you're in violation. Normally you would have 90 days. You have 29 days to get married or else you're going to get deported. Wow. Okay. And so from the United States, right? I'm from the United States. When we don't like you, when our government decides your papers aren't in order, we throw you into a wire cage on the concrete with an aluminum foil blanket. I'm scared, all right? Okay, it's a little more civilized in Brazil. They just give you a fine, and then you can even appeal that fine, which is what we ended up doing. I am fine free now, so which is why I can talk about this. I had like a gag order on me before this because it was all in litigation. But, you know, so for like the last year, basically, we got married. I came back into the country. We got married in, you know, 30 days. It was boom, 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 boom. It was really, I mean, it was as romantic as it could be, but it wasn't what I had imagined with all my Pinterest boards because we had to do it so quickly because of the immigration. Yeah. But honestly, gracias a Deus that we did it as quickly as we did because then boom, booty, boom, 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 coronavirus happened and it's been happily COVID-19 ever after. So...
Salvador is a great city to be in quarantine, to have lockdown.
Which really, that is exactly why we moved here, because we were in Sao Paulo and then, you know, coronavirus happened and it just so happened that our lease was up in Brazil. And I don't know if you know this or if the listeners know this, but in Brazil, leases are generally 3 years. So... you have to like really make a decision. And we made one when we decided we were going to jump because he's Baiano. He's from here. We live 800 meters from my in-laws. So we're very, very close. We see them. If I'm not over there every week, my sogra is calling like, where's Sophia? Like it's just not being there. You know, we're very close. We're very close, which has been nice during the pandemic, especially when everything got closed up. And it was crazy because I do think that Bahia has taken the pandemic much more seriously than other states like Rio and Sao Paulo because Bahia is a poorer state. They don't have the hospital infrastructure. And so they were like, prevention is worth a pound a cure. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound a cure. So yeah. There was a time, you know, we have a beautiful apartment view. We see the beach. But there was a time in Bahia when the beaches were closed. You couldn't go to the beach.
I didn't know
which
that.
Yeah. But now the beaches are open and it is nice because it's one of the few things that we feel safe doing. So yeah, it's been nice to be here during the pandemic for sure.
What's your husband's name?
I call him Painho.
Painho.
Yes.
Okay. That's his nickname, Paillo.
Yes.
So, just to go back, when you met him, when you first met Paillo, were you speaking English with him?
No, we were speaking Spanish.
Spanish.
Because we were in Spain. Remember, we were in Madrid.
But does he speak Spanish or Portuñol?
Now that I'm with him, I think he just speaks Portuñol. He doesn't really speak Spanish because he also makes fun. So I speak Mexican Spanish, not Castilian Spanish. So that was a thing that I just wasn't hip to in the beginning. I just was, you know, like chalking it up. But now that I speak more Portuguese, no, he's not speaking Spanish.
Okay. So you first started to speak Spanish with him. And when did you decide to properly learn Brazilian Portuguese?
So I would say about 2018. It was a few months into me being there. Because what I decided was I'm going to take Portuguese classes because I think they are going to be cheaper and more effective than couples therapy. And I'm here to tell you they were. They were because we were not, you know, of course there's that honeymoon phase, but it just was like not working. So I decided that I was going to reach out and get some help because the other thing you need to understand about my particular Brazilian Portuguese journey is that I was learning Romanian at the time when I met him. And Romanian has a lot of words that look the same but are pronounced totally different. So, for example, the personal pronoun for oneself, it would be I in English, is written exactly the same in Portuguese and Romanian. It's E-U, but it's pronounced different. So, eu versus eu. So in the beginning, it would sound really weird when I would tell Paino, I love you, because it was like, yao che amo tanto.
Yao che.
He was like, okay. So I learned a lot of things just by living in Brazil and being exposed to Portuguese every day. But that also means that I have a lot of fossilized errors from learning things incorrectly. And things that might have been obvious had I been taking classes from the start didn't become apparent to me until much later. And when I was first speaking with Brazilians, it really stressed me out just because I was so woefully ill-equipped to have any sort of conversation. One of the big things that was like a game changer for me was when I discovered the affricate in Brazilian Portuguese. I felt like my fluency really leveled up that day. And when I say affricate, what I'm talking about is how the letter D is pronounced like a J. So dia becomes gia. It's not bom dia, it's bom dia.
Yeah, the D and the I and the T and the I always it's palatalized, it's called. So it's a soft G and chi sound.
Right, so once I figured that out, I was able to like fake my way better. And it also helped my target language transference mistakes that my Brazilian students make in English. So now when I hear them making these mistakes, I'm like, okay, these are the sounds we need to drill. And I have a habit of substituting French or Spanish or even Romanian words when I don't know the Portuguese one, which really frustrates Paino. He's like, that's Spanish. And I'm like, but did you know what I want? Did the communication happen? So going back to your original question, I had been in Brazil for a few months when I started getting really frustrated. Everyday interactions were just really difficult, and I didn't feel confident getting around the city without my husband, which was a new feeling and uncomfortable for me. You know, I've lived in China, I've lived in Romania, I've lived in a lot of big cities in the United States, Washington, D.C., Philadelphia. So for me to like feel, sort of confined to my house, ironic now, but Serena not be able to go out and do stuff was really stressing me out. And he and I were starting to fight more. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna do something. I was doing Duolingo just sort of to pass the time because also remember I was there on a visa. I was on a tourist visa the first couple times I was in Brazil. So I wasn't working. I was just being at the house, cooking, you know, going to the butcher, going to the fair, like trying to live in this country and figure out if I could live in this country with this man before we made this commitment. So I got on Google, and that's when I found the Fun with Brazilian Portuguese Academy. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I waffled for a few more weeks on whether or not to sign up. But I was finding the free resources that you had made available so helpful. I thought, wow, imagine what I could do if I was actually paying for it. So I took the leap. And when I told Paino, I initially met some resistance. He was kind of put off. He was a little aghast. Like, why do you need to pay someone to learn Portuguese? I can teach you for free and we can use that money for cerveja. Like, it's all about the beer with you.
It's all about the beer.
So this leads me to my number one takeaway for my fellow learners of Brazilian Portuguese. If you get nothing else from listening to this podcast, please heed my advice. Learn from my folly. If you are in a relationship with a Brazilian, do not depend on that person to teach you Portuguese. Yeah. Your relationship will not last. We've talked about this, Fernando, and the last time I brought it up, you gave me some really sage advice. You put it so succinctly. I wish I could remember what you said, because I would have like embroidered it on a pillow. But it was just basically like, you know, my partner is not a teacher, and that's not a knock against him. He doesn't have that training. So right, he's not able to like guide me or answer questions in a way that I need to facilitate my particular style of learning.
Yeah.
And it was just putting this stress on our relationship that we didn't need to. Because for me, I'm chata, okay? I don't like to be corrected by my partner, and I can be really defensive. Once I got into my classes, I could use Paino as a reference or have him help me practice specific pronunciations. But the responsibility of like full-on teaching then shifted to you.
A lot of students of mine, they are in a relationship with a Brazilian, and it's very often that they complain that their partners won't correct them, or they would start speaking Portuguese to practice, and then they would switch to English after a few minutes. So yeah, I think it's unfair to put that responsibility on your partner, because they are not teachers. I mean, they might be, but normally they're not. That's not what they do for a living. So they don't know how to maybe to correct you, or if they know how to correct you, they might not know the explanation behind it. They might not know. They might not be able to explain to you why things are a certain way.
Right. And that's totally understandable. I mean, honestly, I am an English teacher. I have been teaching English and ESL specifically for over a decade. Yeah. I don't like teaching my husband.
Yeah.
And I will tell him, you know, that's 50 hey eyes. Every time I give him a correction, I'm like, if you want me to sit here and be patient with you, you need to pay me or you need to go and get some lessons. But so, and with the corrections for me, like, my husband couldn't get on board with the style of corrections. For me, it doesn't help to be interrupted. I have a brain injury from when I was in the military, and being interrupted when I'm trying to speak and formulate in another language, because I'm trying really hard to not translate in English and then into Portuguese. I'm really trying to just say what I can in the vocab that I have in Portuguese. But when I'm trying to do that and then I get interrupted for pronunciation, which for me, that is the thing I struggle the most with, is the pronunciation of Portuguese. There are so many sounds in Brazilian Portuguese that I just do not hear. I don't have the vowel set. I didn't grow up with it, and my ear just isn't attuned to it. And sometimes my husband will make these very insistent pronunciation corrections, and I'm just like, listen, babe, I don't hear what you're hearing, and I can't hit that target because I'm not hearing it. So I'm sorry. My output is not going to match yours, and I'm sorry. And then usually I'll throw him like a TH word in English. We'll say this, and he can't, because there's no TH sound in Brazilian Portuguese. So it's something, you know, that he struggles with. And I'm like, see, it's sort of the same thing.
Teachers learn correction technique. You know, you're not going to correct every single time that a student makes a mistake, because, you know, you're interrupting all the time. There's no flow. So yes, you need to decide as a teacher, and, you know, when to correct and when not to correct.
Right. So I was really happy when I got into the classes. And so then once I was taking the classes with you, it was like a once a month class with you, and then I was doing the courses in the academy, which for me just looked like doing one course a day. It was just one thing, and it was so nice to have that structure. Mm-hmm. It was really helpful for me, because then I wasn't just throwing things at a wall and seeing what stuck. And So yeah. I was just trying to kind of keep the momentum going. I bought my first Brazilian Portuguese textbook, and I have every intention of cracking it open one day. It's just Learning Brazilian Portuguese by Fernanda L. Ferreira, PhD. It was a $9.99 bargain bin at Barnes & Noble's, and I was like, oh, it's Brazil. It was the first thing I had seen in the United States that specifically said Brazilian Portuguese that was in my budget. So, because I have been very intentional about not wanting to learn Portuguese.
Yeah, European Portuguese.
Yeah, yeah. I don't have a use for that. And I like Brazilian Portuguese more anyway, because there's more like African language influences. There's more indigenous language influences. And I like that as an indigenous person. So the one thing I can say, I've cracked this book open a few times. I always have the best of intentions of like, I'm going to sit down and do this. And then I never do it because I live in Brazil and I'm surrounded by Portuguese 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And by the time I come home, I don't actually want to study. But so, like I said, consistency for me is key. It's a lot more effective for me to do a little bit of work every day than to sit down once a week to do it for 3 hours. It's a lot more sustainable for me too. And I think I learn more doing a little bit every day than trying to do a big study session.
Do you have any tips as to how to try and at least keep some consistency in that, developing the habit of studying every day?
Well, for me, my consistency really came out of lockdown. It was just, you know, we didn't have an option, and to deal and grapple with sort of this like gnawing feeling of existential dread that I had was I tried to control my time and at least feel like, well, you know, I'm stuck right now and I can't really move forward, but I can at least make a little bit of progress every day with this one task. And that was really what it was. So yeah, that was really where my consistency was, just trying to give some structure to my day. Now we're out of lockdown and I'm working outside the home again. So I just started this job a month ago, and then we went on break for holiday. So I'm still trying to sort of develop that routine. Mm-hmm. And I'm not really sure moving forward what that routine is going to look like. I suppose I could probably dive into this book that I've got, and that's really what I would like to do, is because it is a good book. It's got some nice sections and stuff, and maybe if I could just get into a habit of doing a couple pages a day, so then I'm, you know, physically working my way through the book. So for me, seeing that progress is really helpful, because you don't always feel that progress, at least for me, you know. And the thing is, I live in Brazil, so I am forced every day to interact in Portuguese, and that's fine. Every interaction for me is embarrassing. It has never... Oh, yeah, no, everything the only way I have gotten through it is about 6 months ago, I finally just decided that my sotaque isn't my problem. My sotaque isn't my problem. It's everyone else's problem. My accent isn't my problem. It's everyone else's problem. Because I would really like, I think Paiño has a super sexy accent. He's got a very musical Baiano tone to the way he speaks. And I love it, but I can't imitate it. And I feel embarrassed when I speak Portuguese, because it sounds to me like what white people speak in Spanish in the United States sounds like. Bad. It just sounds bad, and it doesn't sound fluent to me. And so that's embarrassing for me, but I just am like, well, you know, it doesn't get better unless you do it. And I just keep doing it. And the communication is happening. People know what I want. I get my needs met.
And that's what's most important, isn't it? To be understood. I think the accent, and that comes with time. It's about trying to, you know, learn the pronunciation, the standard pronunciation. And I think because you're in contact with Baianos there, because you live there, then I think that influence will come naturally. You know, there's some words you'll be pronouncing like they do with time. But, you know, at the beginning, it's really just about being understood and understanding, of course.
Yeah.
But do you remember anything, like, because there's a big difference between how people learn Brazilian Portuguese from books and from courses in general, like the more traditional courses, and how Brazilians speak in real life. Was it a big shock for you? How did that happen?
Well, I guess I'm a bad one to ask about that because I've never really taken any formal classes. So I only know what I hear. The one thing I can tell you is I don't bother with the nos. Verb conjugation. I mean, I understand conceptually how it works, and it's basically just adding, oh, you know, like I said, I speak French, I speak Romanian, I know these other, you know, I speak Spanish, I know these other Romance languages. So I'm very comfortable with making the we form of a verb. But in Brazilian Portuguese, I literally have never used it except maybe to say vamos, because we always use agente. A gente this, a gente
I was going to say, blah, 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 so blah. Use a gente. It's easier, the conjugation.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, because now I only have to learn like two types of conjugation. I learn, you know, the personal pronoun for você. I learn that one. I learn the one for to, for me. And that's the other thing. Yeah. I hate saying the personal pronoun EU because I confuse it with the Romanian pronunciation. So I just avoid it altogether. Right, and I just say, I don't say esto, I say to.
That's fine.
Because I don't want to deal with it. And I can. And it sounds more like what they say anyway.
I mean, the verb style is normally shortened anyway. And if you use the first conjugation, ill, very often people just drop the ill and just go straight to the verb conjugated. And that's fine. A lot of people do that. But yeah, the nos bit, the conjugation of nos as we, I think it's important to learn, but it's also important to learn that a gente is very, very, very common in Brazil. People use that a lot. I'd say more than nos.
Yeah, I really never use nos, and I never hear nos around me. Like once in a great while, and it's like it's so rare that when I do hear it, my ears perk up because I'm like, whoa, why are we using nos? Who's here? Why are we not saying agente? You know?
And I think that's one of the things that the books tell you. More traditional books will, you know, teach you the conjugation of nos, but they won't even mention agente.
Yeah, and it's way, way more common. I use it all the time, all the time. And it made me feel very slick the first couple times I used it. Like, oh, yeah, look at me.
Well, it does help you sound more natural, more fluent. Because Brazilians use that a lot. So what do you find most difficult about the language? We've already mentioned a few things like
the sounds.
Nasal sounds. Yeah.
Yeah, the sounds for sure. The phonology is the most difficult. Mm. I'm at the level of Portuguese right now that I can't tell you what happened yesterday. I can only speak in the future and present tense. I don't do past tense. That's just not part of my vocabulary. So I guess you could say grammar is a struggle for me, but it would probably be less of a struggle if I studied harder. So let me be real. Let's not put that on the language. That's me being a lazy student.
Do you have any funny stories to tell when people misunderstood you or in relation to that?
Oh my gosh. Honestly, I feel like I'm constantly being misunderstood, and it's really given me kind of a complex. Yeah, because it's very frustrating for me because when we go out in public, when I'm with my husband, I really try to... Okay, so I have a lot of anxiety. So one of the ways that I have dealt with that anxiety and dealing with pre-pandemic Brazil, I had like a set of things that I did every week. I went to the butchers. I went to the fair. I, you know, went to the chocolatier. Okay, yeah, I went and bought chocolate at Cacacho every week. I was that bougie. So I kind of regarded those situations like how I would like playing capoeira. I also joined a capoeira class because I thought, oh, this would be cool. Like get some more opportunities to like speak with people that aren't my husband. And I sort of looked at them as like training exercises. Like you kind of know, I knew every day when I went to the butcher, what kind of interaction we were going to have. And so once I started like honing in on the vocabulary, like how to order, how many kilos I wanted and what were the words for the weights and like the different cuts of meat and learning those, it just became like a drilling for me. So then once I started to get confident, like I would practice at home. I'd say to my husband, like, hey, I want to practice ordering today. So we would talk about it before. I'm like, I want to practice ordering when we go to the restaurant. So let me do it. Right. So then sometimes I'm like, okay, no, I want to do it. And then I would say things like we had practiced at home and they would look to my husband and he would say the exact same thing that I had said, because he's the one who taught me how to say it, and they would understand him perfectly. And I'm like, what is happening? Is there just like a cognitive disconnect? And he's like, well, you know, people know you're a gringa. And I'm like, this is baloney, because I feel like anybody could be Brazilian. Literally, this is some of the most diverse phenotypes in this country. But I digress. So yeah, for me, honestly, every interaction is pretty embarrassing, because even when I feel like I'm doing well, they're always kind of laughing at me. One of my favorite slangs, especially here in Bahia, is masa, que masa. Mm-hmm. So masa literally means like pasta, but in Bahia it means like cool, you know? Yeah. And so one of the ways that I like will limp along in a conversation is like, ah, yeah, poise. Masa, masa, beleza, you know, just like saying like those words of affirmation. And as soon as I pop out masa, oh man, I get a lot of really positive feedback. So it's a favorite of mine. But even then, even when I say it, people will laugh at me and I'm like, am I saying it wrong? And my husband's like, no, it's just because it's slang and people don't expect that you would say that. Like, you know, okay, because here's the thing, you know, I'm an English teacher and I have traveled all over the world. And one thing that I noticed when I was in Romania is, Romanians very rarely get to hear somebody speak Romanian.
Mm.
Only Romanians speak Romanian. Maybe Moldovans speak Romanian. So for an outsider to come and speak Romanian, it's different. It's unusual for them. Whereas English speakers, we get to hear people speaking English with a variety of accents all the time. South Africa, India, pretty much any place that's been colonized. Yeah. You know, you have that particular accent there. And I think it's some kind of similar in Brazilian Portuguese. I don't think, and particularly in Salvador, you know, there's not, it's not like São Paulo or Rio where there's a lot of gringos around. Yeah. Not as many as Lee. So it's different. and but it was Sophia, something he used to.
Now, Sophia, do you know the expression foda-se?
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah, I know that one very well. I use that a lot when we watch football every weekend.
So I think that's a very good mindset to have. Foda-se. Fuck it.
Foda-se, cara. Tô cansada, puta que pariu. Well, you know, I'm living in Bahia for some time. I have sort of adopted the mindset of cabeça de gelo. Just, you know, cool-minded, and don't let it, like, it's cool, man, you know? Yeah, I know I'm going to make mistakes, and it's fine, and I'll probably live here for, you know, I'm married, and that's another thing. Once people find out I'm married, they're like, oh, it's a totally different attitude with me once they find out, like, I'm here to stay. They're like, oh, okay, well, we'll help you out. You suck at Brazilian Portuguese, but it's cool. We're gonna get you on the level.
Sophia, I wanted to talk about cultural differences. We've touched a little bit on that. What are the most obvious cultural differences that you've encountered?
Well, funny that you should use the word touch, Fernando, because that is the first thing that I would bring to mind is touch. I am not from a touchy culture. And as a matter of fact, as a teacher in North America, like there's a lot of distance, you know, like your upper elbow, your upper shoulder area is like the only area like where I as a teacher can like interact with my students. Like I can pat you on your upper shoulder. Like that's it. Not on the top of the shoulder, because that might be a little too intimate, you know, and that does not exist in Brazil. These personal boundaries do not exist. And you know, when I was in Europe, in Romania, we do the air kiss to either side. And so I was fairly fluent with that when I came to Brazil. And people commented on it. They're like, oh, wow, Sophia slipped right into that. And I'm like, well, that's because I just had a year in Europe. So I've been training. I was ready when I got here. But Brazilians will really kiss you. And it will get sloppy and wet and slobbery. And I do not like that. And it is difficult because I don't want to be offensive and I don't want to wipe it away. But also, oh, my God, I can't wait to get it off my face. And that has been one of the best things about the pandemic is that we were not doing that. that had stopped. We were doing social distancing. Everyone was really on board with it, but now it's back.
The little kisses. We call it beijinhos. Yes.
And speaking of beijinhos, I just real quick to anyone who might be dating a Brazilian, if you see their text messages and you see a BJS, it is not what you think it is. It is just a beijinho, and they very liberally use the emoji, the kissy emoji. Yeah. Because the first couple times I saw my husband sending the kissy emoji to like a Fernanda or a Luciana or a Jose, I was like, excuse me, what are you doing? Who are these people? And then I just found out it's like, it's nothing, like yeah. whatever. Yeah. It's a very touchy, carinhoso, that's not the word I wanted to use because that was a Portuguese word.
People do that, as you said, in text messages and emails as well. Even professional emails sometimes that you don't even know the person, and you send abraços, abs,
yeah,
abs.
Yep. It's the abs. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Abraços. Right.
And if you don't do those things, now as a gringa, I do feel like I get a little more of a pass because people don't quite expect me. Mm. But now that I've been here 2 years, I'm getting a lot less pass. Like in the beginning, I could kind of just do a dap or like an elbow tap, you know. But now people are pulling me in, and it's harder for me to get away. But I suppose I just should be glad that they have accepted me, you know. I'm part of the family now, for better or for worse.
So you've mentioned personal boundaries. Residents are more touchy.
A lot more touchy and very much more vocal about things that I, coming from a more Western North American culture, Canada, the United States, like Brazilians will comment on your body and your appearance in ways that I find personally invasive. I was kind of brought up that if you don't say anything about a person's appearance that can't be fixed in under 10 seconds. So that pretty much limits to like you have something on your face or, you know, you've got something in your teeth. That's it. But that is not the case in Brazil. I feel like my body is very open to comment at any and all times. And it's funny because other gringo men that I have talked about, I've said, you know, like, I don't think that Brazil is a particularly body positive culture. Country, rather. I don't think the culture is particularly body positive. And they're like, oh, no, you go to the beach and you see every type of body at a beach. And I'm like, yeah, but there is definitely a preferred type of body. That is a message that I, as a femme presenting person in Brazil, get all the time. It is definitely more preferential that I be thin than rather if I be heavier. The fact I have short hair, and the fact that I have short hair is something that is not necessarily valued by older women in my family unit. You know, they would prefer that I keep my hair long. So there's definitely these gender, of course there are queer people in Brazil, and you know, like, no one is coming up and like getting in my face like Handmaid's Tale style, like, you have to wear long hair. But there's definitely a culture where I am more femme presenting being in Brazil than I would be if I were in another country. And one thing I do notice in Brazil, I get stared at a lot, and I can't figure out why, because I'm not particularly good looking. When I look around at the other Brazilian women, I'm like, there are much better options. And my husband always says, you know, it's because you're a gringa and people, it's just, you're different. And that's why people are looking at you. And I'm like, but how can they tell? He's like, we just know. And I'm like, but with a mask on? And he's like, well, maybe it's your tattoos, because I am quite heavily tattooed. I see a lot of people in Brazil that are also tattooed. So I don't know. Maybe it's what you said. Maybe it's just like their Brazilian spidey sense. They just know something's off.
Spidey sense.
Right. So, yeah. But I have found, you know, more positive things in Brazil than negative things, honestly.
What I wanted to ask you, do you have, just before we finish, do you have any kind of top tips about learning Brazilian Portuguese? What would you say to someone who's starting to learn?
Don't give up. Keep calm and carry on. It's not easy, but if it was easy, everybody would do it. You know, I don't know what brings, I guess I assume that everybody is coming into Brazilian Portuguese sort of like I am. You got it dropped in. You fell in love with a beautiful Brazilian. I mean, they are hard to resist. Okay. Some stereotypes ring true. Brazilians are beautiful. Okay. And then you get them talking and that accent is just delícia. So, you know, be patient. And don't take anything personally. If people laugh at you, don't worry about it. It's not personal. It's just part of it. And just, you know, be patient. And I would definitely recommend if you are going to learn Portuguese, get into a class and get into a class early. Don't do what I did and just try and limp along. I really had this perception that because I had this background in romance languages that I would be fine on my own. And I really was not. And like I said, I'm still paying for some of those mistakes. But just consistency is key. Stick with it. Listen to podcasts. You know, when I first got together with my husband, I was like, man, you know, would you just read to me like once a week? Can you just read me a children's story? And we bought a book and he did it a few times and we kind of fell off. But then I found this great podcast where you can read Brazilian Portuguese books. Are you familiar with that podcast, Renato?
No, tell me about it. Which podcast is that?
It's available on Spotify and iTunes. I think the title is Read Brazilian Portuguese Stories with Me.
I think it's called Read Books in Brazilian Portuguese with Me.
Yes. So if you guys haven't figured out, this is another passion project of Fernando's and you can listen to him read along in Brazilian Portuguese. And I really liked, you did the Wizard of Oz, right? That was the one I listened to. And you've done another one now.
Alice in Wonderland.
Okay, I haven't listened. I've been saving that one. I'm saving that for when I go back to work. I'm going to listen to it in the morning. That's going to be like my daily, while I'm carpooling to work, I'm going to listen to that story. But yeah, I found the Wizard of Oz one really helpful because then you had the text that I could follow along on because I get a lot of practice reading. You know, I watch everything we watch, whether we're watching it in Portuguese or in English. If we're watching it in English, it has Portuguese subtitles for my husband. Yeah. If we're watching it in Portuguese, it has English subtitles for me. Right. So I'm constantly getting that written input, but I don't always know how to pronounce things. So getting to see it in real time was really helpful. So,
Sophia, where can people find you online, your podcast? Where can people connect with you?
Okay. Well, I am all over the internet.
I will also put all the details on the podcast description as well. But if you can tell us here, what is the best channel for people to follow you online and your podcast, if you want to mention it again?
My podcast is Angry Indian Girl Radio Podcast. That's ANGR Podcast for short. So you can go online to angrpodcast.com. You'll find links to all my socials. You can tweet at me, find me on Instagram at ANGR Podcast. We are on Deezer, Spotify, iTunes, all the great channels. Anywhere you get your podcasts, you will find the ANGR Podcast. You might have to look it up under my name, which is Sophia Syntax. That's Syntax with two X's because my syntax is extreme. I don't know why it's like that. SOFIASYNTAXX. You can also find me on my website, sophiasyntax.com, or you can follow me on Instagram. That's where the real party happens, at toosexyforcontext.com. That's where I post all of my Brazilian travel photos. I also have a website, toosexyforcontext.com. You can find the blog there. I'm around. Please come find me, tweet at me. I'm around.
Sophia, muito obrigado. Thank you so much for being my guest on the show.
Thanks for having me on. Obrigada. Tchau, tchau.
Tchau. Thank you very much for listening to today's episode. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Sophia. If you'd like more good stuff about Brazilian Portuguese, make sure you go to fwbp-academy.com. And I've prepared an exclusive 15% discount for listeners of this podcast. And the code is valid on any of my online courses, including the Ultimate Pronunciation Guide. The code is FWBP15. That's FWBP15. You can just enter it on the checkout page of the course you've chosen to get the discount. If you'd like to get in contact, the best place to connect is on Instagram. To find me there, just do a search for Fun with Brazilian Portuguese. Muito obrigado, pessoal. Até a próxima.